Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have talked on this show about a four-year-old boy who was handicapped, lived in the Denver area, Dylan Walborn, and Denver's Children's Hospital. The doctors at Children's Hospital recommended to the parents, Dylan's parents, that they euthanize their son, basically that they kill him by starvation, and the parents did that. The Denver Post documented in detail Dylan's death. It took 24 days that Dylan clung to life. It was absolutely wrong. It's immoral to kill a child, an innocent child, to starve him to death. And what we want to do today, by the way, that story is documented online at dylanwalborn.com. Well, today, I'd like to talk to a mom who has raised a handicapped daughter, and it's the opposite end of the spectrum, loving and caring for a child who is severely handicapped. Linda Evan Shepherd. Linda, welcome to Bob Benyart Live.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
It's great to talk with you, and it's actually an honor for the love that you have shown your daughter, Laura, and I hope our audience will catch on to the spirit of love and compassion that's so obvious from your website, for one. It's called lindaandlaura.com, lindaandlaura.com. But Linda, tell us, how did your daughter Laura end up handicapped?
Well, my daughter was a gorgeous 18-month-old child who was a Gerber baby lookalike when we were caught in a very horrible car accident. And when I turned and looked into the back seat to check on her, the back seat had been ripped off the car. I was able to crawl out of the wreckage, and I found my beautiful child in the middle of the freeway, still fastened in her car seat.
Oh.
And I knew then she had a brain injury, and I knew that our lives had been forever changed.
Oh, my. And so changed. Now, this is almost 19 years later.
Yes.
Laura's 20 years old?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us, what is her life like? What does her handicap mean?
Laura is, in fact, more disabled than was Terry Schiavo. Terry Schiavo was not on life support.
Right.
Laura, in fact, is on life support. She is connected to a breathing machine, a ventilator, mm-hmm. and she is paralyzed from the neck down, and she is unable to say a lot of words, although she does speak. So she's extremely disabled, yet to that I say, so what? Who's not a little bit disabled? who doesn't have a little bit of brain damage?
Yeah. Now, I want to get into some of the details of what it's like caring for Laura, but also to let the audience know, you've recently had a confrontation with Michael Schiavo, who came to Denver for a fundraiser. I'd like to talk about that. And then also you have some history with Children's Hospital.
Well, let's talk about what happened with Michael Schiavo.
Okay.
I'm an author. I've written over 20 Christian books, and including the Potluck Club, which is doing very well. And I was down in Denver for the Christian Booksellers Trade Show, and I had been staying at the Denver Adams Mark. That morning when I got up, my prayer was, Lord, use me, anoint my feet, anoint my lips, and I went off into my day, and the next thing I know, I am standing at the door of a press conference that's just about to start with Michael Schiavo and Angie Piccioni, who's running in District 4 for Congresswoman. And
now, Terry Schiavo, of course, the handicapped gal down in Florida who was starved to death at the behest of her husband, Michael Schiavo, and the Republican judge down there, George Greer, who gave the order, basically a judicial decree, to go ahead and kill Terry Schiavo. And when he said they would remove her feeding tube, her family, the Schindlers, they wanted to feed their daughter by mouth.
Right.
And they were not allowed to feed their daughter by mouth. And even though nurses had testified that she was able to eat by mouth, at least the last time they had tried, she had been able to.
Right. You know, see, she was in hospice, and she was only in hospice so that they could euthanize her. That was the plan all along. And in fact, I believe this case has a lot more to do with how to help insurance companies figure out how to cut costs by euthanizing not only the disabled, but eventually the elderly, as well as people who have been given a terminal sentence by their doctor.
Of course, that is pressure that's influencing our culture, and we see that in Europe, where they're further along the euthanasia path than we are, although we're pretty far along it. But yeah, it becomes a financial consideration. In the case of Terry, her family said, we'll take care of her.
Right.
The insurance doesn't have to pay, but they want the precedent set that you could take a four-year-old boy like Dylan Walborn and starve him to death. You can euthanize him, you could euthanize the elderly and the handicapped.
See, they figured out that you can save about $100,000 per person who's been given a terminal cancer sentence, for example, if you go ahead and dehydrate them now. Why wait? Save the buck. Forgetting that we have souls and that we have to make our partings and our goodbyes and our peace with God before we go. And people are not getting the chance to do that. Even now, people in Denver and Colorado are being euthanized in different settings such as hospitals and hospices.
Yeah, Colorado's Medical Ethics Board says we're against euthanasia, but they don't consider starving someone to death to be euthanasia. And, of course, our state laws back up that absurd position, which is you could starve to death children, the elderly, the handicapped, and it's happening with increasing frequency here in Colorado. Now, what happened when you got to this Michael Schiavo press conference that was about to start?
Well, God happened to have me wear a press badge that day. I was going in with my press badge down to the trade show, and so I was able to go into the press conference, and I listened as Michael Schiavo sat next to Angie Piccioni and began to rant and rave about how the fact that he said his rights had been violated and that his privacy had been violated and that his family had been violated. So when it came time to ask questions, I simply raised my hand and I said, well, I am the parent of a disabled adult. I said, what about Terry's parents? What about their rights? Weren't they also her family? And when I said that, Michael Schiavo, who, by the way, has an extraordinarily terrible temper, went off on me and shouted pretty much, you know, she was mine to do what I wanted to do with, and she was married to me, and therefore her parents had lost all rights to her. Do you get that?
So his anger, his temper, you know, if you're willing to kill unborn children, if you're willing to kill the disabled, certainly a few lies here and there, losing your temper is not a big deal.
Oh, no, not a big deal at all. But it showed me his heart, and it showed me that he considered his wife to be his property. And I'm sorry, but that, I thought slavery was over.
Yeah, now, of course, once you get married, medical decisions are made by the spouse. They're not any longer made by in-laws or parents. But there should be no medical decision that says, I'm going to euthanize, I'm going to kill my wife because she is difficult to care for.
Well, especially if you have a conflict of interest and you are living and parenting children with another woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Right. That's a great point. He remained married to Terry while he's living with another woman.
Right.
And he was able to receive the insurance from Terry that was supposed to go to her recuperation efforts, and I don't believe he spent any of that money on a hope for recovery for his wife.
Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that Michael Schiavo has become the poster boy for a very large euthanasia lobby.
Right.
They selected him, and the whole point was not about fairness, was not about the money. It was about creating a climate where people would discuss euthanasia and then become less alarmed by it.
Well, that's right. Now, we're talking to Linda Evan Shepherd, author, mother of Laura Shepherd. You need to check out their website. It's beautiful at lindaandlaura.com. Linda, what's happened, even in the Christian community, in the light of the Terri Schiavo battle to save her life that we lost, many Christians, and I would estimate by the hundreds of thousands, went to get living wills where they indicated that they wanted to be euthanized. They didn't realize what they were saying.
Exactly.
But that they do not want to be kept alive with food and water. Now, what they call it is artificial nourishment and hydration. Now, artificial nourishment and hydration, they call it that because it's too obvious when you call it food and water that people are more hesitant to say, I want to be starved to death. And one of our church members had their dad tell them recently, this at Denver Bible Church, if I end up like Terri Schiavo, I want you to do the same thing to me. And she said, Dad, you're going to have to find somebody else because I'm not going to kill my father. I'm not going to starve you to death.
Terri Schiavo, number one, was simply a disabled woman who had the ability to communicate, who had the ability to eat by mouth, and suddenly now spoon feeding, a spoon, I guess, is an instrument of life support, and she was euthanized only to make a point and to make a way for others like her to be euthanized.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Linda, I don't know if you knew the political affiliation of the local judge there, George Greer, but a few minutes ago I pointed out he was the Republican judge, grew up in a Christian pro-life Southern Baptist church. He was a member. And when it went then to the federal circuit, when his decisions were appealed, it went up, I think down in Florida, it's the 11th Circuit. And six of those judges on that circuit were appointed by Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George W. Bush. And all six we've documented at our website, kgov.com and shadowgov.com. All six voted to go ahead and kill Terri Schiavo. All six. For 25 years, Christian pro-lifers have been told if we vote for Republican pro-life presidents, we will get judges who respect life. All six voted to go ahead and kill Terri Schiavo. Then it went to the U.S. Supreme Court, where seven of the nine justices were nominated by Republican presidents, and they voted the same. They would do nothing to intervene to stop them from killing Terri Schiavo.
Well, personally, I think it became a grab for power from the judicial system.
Well, certainly it affirmed their lack of belief in the right to life. Our federal judiciary, and there are hundreds of federal judges, and about maybe 55% nominated by Republican presidents, is solidly pro-abortion. And the most pro-life justices we could find believe that if you pass abortion through the democratic process, then it's acceptable. Then it should be upheld legally. So we are in a crisis where our judges and our politicians have stacked the bench with pro-abortion judges.
Again, this has to do with big business. It has to do with the insurance companies, and it has to do with Social Security. It has to do with saving money.
Yeah, I agree from that perspective, right, Linda? From the perspective of big business that doesn't have a moral foundation, to them it's money.
Right.
From the perspective of, let's say, the United Methodist Church, let's say.
Yeah.
For them, it's not money. For them, they are strongly pro-abortion because they're in rebellion against God. Mm. And, you know, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. And so what you have is you have people who are in rebellion against God who despise those who would try to defend innocent life. So you've got both things going on. You've got the moral, spiritual battle, and you have the money that corporations think they'll save by killing the handicapped and handicapped kids and the elderly.
Well, you know, when you kill the handicapped and the elderly and the disabled, you are killing a blessing that God has given in your life. I cannot tell you what a blessing my severely brain-damaged child is to my family. We have taught her, unlike Michael Schiavo, we have taught my daughter how to communicate with her world through tongue signals.
Let me understand that. Through tongue signals?
Yes, sir.
She uses her tongue. Now, Michael Schiavo, he didn't spend years lovingly trying to teach his wife how to communicate.
That's right.
He just wanted her dead the sooner the better.
As soon as he won that lawsuit for, I think he ended up with about $200,000, he was done with pretending he cared for his wife.
Right.
As far as I could tell.
Right.
And after that, he put her in hospice, and he was done. He was ready for someone to pull her plug.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So your daughter is now able to communicate with you guys?
Yes, she can communicate beautifully. She can make jokes. She laughs. In fact, she is in her room at this very moment upstairs singing to a worship song CD. And, of course, she doesn't sing in key, but we don't mind. She's the best worshiper we know.
Now, I heard that you guys were going to go out for a shopping day this past week to get something purple for her.
Yes, she had to have something purple. And
now, that was her idea?
Yes, we had been at Children's Hospital, and she had wanted to buy this purple shirt, and she had one kind of like it, so we said no. But it's so hard to say no to her,
right?
Because, you know, it's a great effort to communicate, and if she does
successfully,
then we usually say yes, but we, in fact, said no. But we promised her we would go on an expedition shopping thing purple, which we did a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. We went to the new Super Target in Longmont, and we were up and down the aisles looking for purple things. And the only thing we could really find were purple socks.
Purple socks.
And boy, did she love those purple socks, except for the pair that said Drama Queen on them. And I said, well, Laura, why don't you like these? And she got the most funny look on her face, and I said, you're not a drama queen, are you? And she gave me her yes, I'm not a drama queen signal or tongue signal.
Yeah.
And I said, Laura, now you have to know I have a drama background. I said, Laura, do you know a drama queen? And she looked right into my eyes and laughed out loud.
Wow. So now, Linda, there are doctors, I imagine, who would prefer anywhere along the line the last 18 years with Laura to have euthanized her, to starve her to death.
Oh, we had a lot of pressure put on us, and I just told the doctors, if God wants to take her, he doesn't need me to pull her plug. He's welcome to her. She belongs to him, but he has to take her because she is not brain dead.
Okay, now amen to the fact that if it's okay to die, it's okay to let an irreversibly dying person die.
Absolutely.
It's not okay to starve them to death or to kill them. That's the difference between loving someone and murdering them.
There's
exactly a difference between loving them and murdering them. And when you starve your child or your grandpa or your neighbor to death, you're murdering them. You don't have the right to kill the innocent. Now, Linda, I would just, if you don't mind, I just want to make one qualification. And this is a theological issue because I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
Yes.
At our church, we wouldn't say, let's say a four-year-old girl is kidnapped, molested, and murdered. We wouldn't say God took her. We would say that the consequences of men being in rebellion against God, people sin, our bodies break down, disease comes upon us. So that's just one clarification I'd like to offer.
Well, that's exactly right, and I'm not against death. Death will come to each one of us, and one day death will come to my daughter. And
yes,
when it does, I will accept that.
Yeah, and you know what? We will. The sorrow of the loss will be painful, but
I
also
will cry.
That's right. But as Christians, we will rejoice because we don't sorrow as those who have no hope.
She'll have a completed body, and she will be dancing in heaven. And one day, I will join her. And that is wonderful. I have that great hope for her, but it's not my place to take her.
Of course not. Now, let me ask you, you guys have been involved, you just said you'd gone recently to Children's Hospital. Could you tell us about the one episode where you had a discussion with a doctor about your daughter and euthanasia?
Yes, but let me just start by saying that, you know, Children's Hospital has always been there for us, and they've done a really great job managing her care. In fact, it's a doctor here in town and also the doctors at Children's Hospital who have done that. But one day, Laura became very ill, and we had to run her to the ER at Children's Hospital, and a doctor who had not known her sees this child in a wheelchair, sees this child on life support. All my daughter needs to save her life at that point is an antibiotic.
Oh, my.
He pulls me aside because she has septicemia. He pulls me aside and says, how about you just not treating her? Because this could be God's way of saying it's time to let go. And he said, so what do you want me to do? And I said, do whatever you can to save her. And so he asked me two more times, and I again said, do whatever you can to save her.
Uh-huh.
Well, he walked away sadly shaking his head and thinking I had made this horrible mistake until about 3 days later when Laura was awake, because he saw her when she was unconscious.
Right.
She was awake, she was singing, she was laughing, she was being her sparkly self.
Yeah.
And he sat down on the edge of her bed and said, I am so sorry, I didn't know.
Wow.
And this is the problem.
Yeah.
When the disabled or need treatment, is somebody not going to know that they're a real person?
That is happening increasingly in America, in Colorado. We had the case up in Port Angeles, Washington, where a couple went into the hospital and a baby was born, but in a crisis situation, and the baby died. You may have heard about this. It's been discussed nationally in the news. And the baby came back, and the doctor was seen by a medic putting his mouth over the putting his hand over the baby's mouth, suffocating the baby to kill the baby. And he did this on his own. It would be wrong no matter whose authority he had. It's murder. But then the parents were told, they were devastated, and it went to court. The judge threw the case out of court, and the city of Port Angeles, the people there in the courtroom, they erupted in applause in defense of the doctor who smothered to death the newborn baby.
See, this is very frightening to me as the mother of a handicapped adult. Where is this going to end?
Right, where is it going?
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, Linda, where is it going to end and where is it right now? Each of these horror stories are people who have killed an innocent person. They're killing innocent people, and what is happening is America, and I'm thinking about Christians now in America, and even Christian leaders, their hearts are becoming increasingly hard. They have crossed the line just in the last 3 years. They've crossed the line to support suicide and euthanasia, especially starving to death the handicapped. And where will that end? We're sort of soft in our opposition to abortion. You know, millions of Christians feel like, hey, it's not such a big deal. And in the Bible, God said, if some innocent person is killed anywhere near where you live, I'm going to hold you responsible. God says that in the Bible because he expects us to have a society where innocent people are not killed.
Mm.
So we're in a crisis.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but during this particular election, Michael Schiavo has been slinking around District 4, disrupting our debates and verbally assaulting our congresswoman. And what is that about? Where is that going to end? Is he going to show up at my house next because I stood up to him?
Mm. Yeah, he is. Of course, we focus our anger on him, but I often like to bring it back to our mainline churches, our churches that don't get involved, even the good churches that know that abortion and euthanasia is wrong. For the most part, they don't want to get involved.
Well, they just don't always get it. But I'll tell you what, I've got my daughter's story on the web, on a website called GodTest.com. It's a website out there for suicidal and hurting people. We have had over 1 million people drop by to see us in the past 2 years. We've seen over 250,000 people come to faith on that website. And my daughter's story is posted on that website. And we get emails from 13-year-old children who say, I was going to kill myself because my mother forced me to have an abortion. And if my baby's life wasn't worth anything, then I know my life isn't worth anything.
Oh, my.
And they said, but when I saw the story about your daughter, then I knew my life was valuable, too.
GodTest.com. I just went to that, and it starts out, spiritual questionnaire, do you
right.
believe in God, yes or no?
Yes.
Wow, this is really interesting. So do websites that deal with people in crisis link to this?
Probably, because we just have an incredible amount of volume on that website. It's unbelievable how many people are going there, and we answer a lot of hard questions. We're dealing with a lot of people in crises, and once you finish the survey, we have a lot of questions and helps for you depending on what your crisis is.
All right. Well, what an honor. Linda Evan Shepherd, and she's got two websites we know of now, lindaandlaura.com, and you could read about Laura's story, Linda's story, and also godtest.com. Linda, is there something you'd like to leave the audience with?
Well, I just would like for you to remember that love is the key. And when you kill the disabled, when you kill the elderly, you are losing the opportunity for restoration, for love, and for God experiences. Because Jesus said, when you minister to the least of these, you minister unto me.
Wow, what a brilliant point. Linda Evan Shepherd, thank you so very much.
Well, you're welcome.
God bless you. I really appreciate that. Wow. That's someone who's living the life, and it's extraordinary. And a society could be judged by the way it treats its most vulnerable members. So in the Shepherd household, you see how they're treating their daughter, who any number of times along the last 18 years, doctors would have said, just kill her, just let her die. Imagine you need an antibiotic, and a doctor says, let her die. Why does he say that? Because she's handicapped. And what, Hollywood cares about no discrimination against the handicapped? Hollywood doesn't care. They don't give a rip. You think Clint Eastwood is going to make a movie about Laura Shepherd and the doctor who wanted to kill her? No, he just made a movie that the hero, they're the people who killed the woman who got injured boxing. That's Hollywood. And sadly, increasingly, that's the body of Christ who just doesn't have the time or the interest to take up these issues. But we have to continue to put them before Christians, because even if the leaders don't take up the issues, many Christians will. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, you can count on us with the Lord's help. We'll keep fighting the fight. I want to tell you about our website, kgov.com. You can check that out. Help us out to stay on the air. And Maranatha Christian Center, the best Christian school I've ever seen, Maranatha.